speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. It's so wonderful to be in God's house, to worship Him. You know, we are living in very exciting times. We have just come through a first for the church in Singapore, the solemn assemblies. And all this was leading up to the day of His power, and then, of course, Singapore's National Day. And this, in turn, is building up to May next year, when there will be the Celebration of Hope. And this will be at the National Stadium next year. And we are praying that truly God will do such tremendous work in Singapore. Mighty, mighty miracles. Great outpouring of His Holy Spirit. It will be so wonderful what He will do in Singapore that it will be almost as it were as in the days of the book of Acts, when 3,000 people in just one day, 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus. And we read that in Acts 2:41. And so it is fitting as we pray towards a glorious move of God in our land, Singapore. It is fitting that today we start on a new sermon series on the book of Acts. How is it possible for 3,000 people to put their faith in Jesus just one day, in one day alone? It all starts with this, being a Spirit-filled community. That's what we desire to be. We don't just desire to read about it in the book of Acts, but we desire to be a Spirit-filled community, one that will have impact on our nation. And so to be a Spirit-filled community, we need two things. We need wind and fire, and we also need wine and word. Firstly, wind and fire. At the Feast of Pentecost, the disciples were together in one place, where suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Have you heard the sound of wind? I don't mean a gentle breeze. Have you heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind? I remember many years ago when I was a youth and I went for my very first holiday in Genting Highlands. I had slept well the night before in the hotel. And so in the morning after breakfast, I was keen to see the world, keen to see Genting Highlands in the morning light. And so I opened the hotel door just slightly. And the minute I opened the hotel door, I heard this sound, rushing, rushing wind, strong, strong wind. It's been so many years since I was a youth, but I have never forgotten that sound. It made such a deep impression on me. And yet, what I heard, impressive as it was, that was natural wind. But you know what the disciples heard in Acts chapter 2? That was supernatural wind. And why do I say it was supernatural wind? Acts chapter 2 verse 2 says, the disciples were sitting in a house. Notice, not outdoors, but in a house. Acts 1:13 is even more specific and says they were not just in a house, but they were in the upper room of a house. So, some people believe that this is the same upper room as where Jesus held His Last Supper, actually the last Passover for Him, but we call it the Last Supper, Luke 22, verse 12. If you go to Jerusalem today for a holiday, your tour guide is likely to bring you to this place. It's an upper room, believed to be the very same upper room where the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2. It is truly a large room. The picture doesn't show justice, but it is a large room, and well over 100 people can fit into this room. Not everyone agrees that this was the historical place. Some people think the disciples were not in an upper room of a house, but that the disciples were in the temple when the Holy Spirit came. And their reason for saying so is that in the Hebrew language, the word for house can mean house as we know it in our common understanding, but also house can refer to the temple. So, was it a house as in a house that we are familiar with, or was it the temple? To me, the exact location is not so important. But what is important is to note the disciples were indoors. I stress that. They were indoors, not outdoors where you would expect to hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, but they were indoors. And this sound filled the entire house where they were sitting. With the wind came the fire. Tongues of fire appeared on the heads of the disciples. Of course, this was not natural fire. This was supernatural fire. Obviously, if it was natural fire, they would have been burnt. They would have no more hair. They would have been bald in an instant. This was not natural fire. Supernatural. Just like the kind of fire that appeared to Moses in Exodus 3:2. Moses saw a bush that was on fire. And yet the bush was not burnt. It was not consumed, because it was a supernatural manifestation of God to Moses. So now coming back to Acts chapter 2. The disciples were in this place, the house or the temple. They were there. And they were all waiting. They were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24:49, Jesus said, "Don't leave Jerusalem yet, but wait until you have received the Holy Spirit from on high." So that day when they were waiting and the wind came, I believe they knew immediately this was the Holy Spirit. To us, we do not see the connection. It's not obvious because we speak English. But in the Hebrew language and also in Greek, the connection is obvious. There's a Hebrew word, ruach, and it means wind. Also, it means spirit. Same with the Greek word, pneuma. It means wind, but also it means spirit. So if you can imagine, we are here now in St. Andrew's Cathedral. If suddenly you hear the sound of a mighty wind filling this whole cathedral, what word will come to your mind? Wind, obviously, wind. But to the disciples, it was not so. When they heard this sound of a mighty rushing wind, they didn't say wind, they didn't speak English, they would have said ruach. And ruach means wind, it also means spirit. I believe they knew in an instant, this is the promise of Jesus, the promise that God the Father would send the Holy Spirit. If they had any doubts when they heard the sound of wind, they would have no more doubts when they saw the fire. It was special fire. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Notice the words, divided tongues. Why divided tongues? Because when the Holy Spirit gave to the disciples the gift of tongues, it was not one language that they were speaking, but many, many different languages. Not one tongue, but divided tongues. Every disciple was speaking a different language, and so divided tongues on the heads of each of the disciples. The Bible says that Jews from every nation under heaven, they gathered in Jerusalem for this great feast of Pentecost. And when the disciples spoke in tongues, the Jews who had come for the feast, they were absolutely amazed, and they couldn't believe, how come these people, all Galileans, can suddenly speak so many languages? Why was it so unbelievable? In Bible times, it was the understanding that the cleverest people, the best educated people, they were residents of Jerusalem. Yes, we know the Jewish people as a race, they are clever, but it was believed the cleverest, the best educated were all residents of Jerusalem. But these disciples, not from Jerusalem, they're from Galilee. And so that's why the crowd said, is it possible? Aren't these people all Galileans? They're not so well educated. How come they can suddenly speak so fluently in so many languages? They didn't know, but it's all because of the wind and the fire. Are we people of wind and fire? For myself, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit over 30 years ago. That's a long time. And I praise God that He has never stopped blowing the wind on me. Sometimes a powerful wind, sometimes a gentle breeze, but always the wind. And I'm so grateful to God for the gift of tongues, that I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues every day. I sing in tongues every day because I never want the fire to go out. As Romans 12:11 says, never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. We serve the Lord by being aglow in the Spirit. You know how it is with wind and fire? The stronger the wind, the bigger the fire, isn't it so? If you want to put out the fire, you can try putting water over it. But actually, the best way to put out fire is to remove oxygen. Immediately, the fire will die. Wind and fire, they go together. The greater the wind, the greater the flame. And that's what God wants us to be, people of wind and fire. Also, He wants us to be people of wine and word. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they spoke in tongues, I think they were very noisy. I don't think they were whispering. I think they were almost shouting in tongues. And why do I say that? Acts 2:6 says that when the multitude heard the sound of the disciples speaking in tongues, the multitude was amazed. Now remember, the disciples were not out in the open, but the disciples were indoors. But the multitude heard them. In other words, they were not whispering in tongues. They were exuberant. They were excited. I believe almost shouting in tongues. And this is how the people, the great crowd, could hear. As we heard, some of them were bewildered and said, how come Galileans can suddenly speak so many languages? But also we read in Acts 2:13, it says, but others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. They are drunk. They are filled with too much wine. Have you seen drunk men? Worse still, have you yourself been drunk? What do drunk men speak about? I think drunks talk a lot of nonsense. They talk a lot of rubbish. They say things, blah, 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 they blabber away. Next morning, when they wake up, hangover, and then they remember the things that they said the night before, they are full of shame and embarrassment because drunk men speak a lot of nonsense. And yet, the Bible says that these disciples, when they spoke in tongues, they were not talking nonsense, but they were proclaiming the mighty works of God. That is Acts 2:11. So, if they were talking perfect sense, proclaiming the greatness of God, how could anyone have thought that they were drunk? I believe it is because when they worshipped in tongues, it was so exuberant, they were so excited, they were shouting, they were like on fire for God. And this was so different from everything Orthodox Jews were used to. Some years ago, I was in Israel, and one Sabbath day, we decided to attend a synagogue service. Two friends and me, we wanted to attend a synagogue service. It was a traditional Judaism service, not charismatic, not born again, not messianic, not that type, but traditional Judaism. And so we attended, the three of us, and we were the only foreigners in the synagogue. Everyone else was a Jewish person, and the whole service was in Hebrew. Not a word of English. But the Jews, when they saw us, they were very friendly and they gave to us service books. Nothing on the screens, no screens. Everyone used a service book. And so, they started with a service, using the service book, reciting every word from the book. And I was thinking to myself, oh, my church in Singapore, St. Andrew's Cathedral, I thought we are very traditional. But this one is even more traditional. In cathedral, we use some liturgy, but also we have parts of spontaneous worship. But in that synagogue service, nothing spontaneous, every single word from the book. And so, here we were sitting in this Hebrew language service. My friend on my left couldn't understand a word of Hebrew. And so she gave up looking at the book because absolutely cannot understand it. She gave up using the book and she started staring at the people. And indeed, they were very interesting to stare at. If you've ever been in a synagogue, you'll know. The men sit in one place, the women sit in another place, and there's a curtain dividing the men and the women. It's just a very flimsy curtain. And so there was this little girl who wanted to speak to her father. And so she went to the curtain and she pulled the curtain aside and calling, "Daddy, Daddy." And I could see her mother was so angry. And the mother was saying to her, "Sit down, sit down." So, friend on my left gave up using the book, just watching the people. Me, I started looking at the service book. I can read a few, very, very few words of Hebrew. So when I saw a word that I could recognize, I was so happy. I said, "I know this word." And I was so happy I would stare at the word, smiling at this word, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, staring at the same word. Until finally I realized, oh, the people are no longer here on this word. They've gone to don't know which page already. I've lost my place in the book. So soon I also gave up using the book. And I also stared at the people. There was this young lady, very well dressed. I think she was going for a date after the service. There was a mirror in the women's side, and she stood at the mirror and tidying her hair. And I could see her mother also angry. "Sit down, sit down." So all this was going on. Friend on my left gave up using the book. Me in the middle, I gave up using the book. The friend on my right, she kept staring at her book. In fact, she stared at her book throughout the entire service until at the end of the service, the Jewish lady sitting next to her said to her, "You are absolutely amazing. Your understanding of the Hebrew language is so good. You turn every page at the right time and you even ended on exactly the right page. You are amazing." And my friend, she just smiled and she said nothing. The truth is, she doesn't know a word of Hebrew. But with her right eye, she was peeping, peeping at the Jewish woman on her right. So when the Jewish woman turned the page, my friend turned the page. Turn the page, turn the page. Turn the page, turn the page. And she did this throughout the whole service. And that's how, not knowing a word of Hebrew, she sat through the entire Hebrew service looking very intelligent. What is the point of this story? The point is this, that even today, there are people, Orthodox Jews, who worship in a very traditional liturgical manner. Everything by the book, nothing out of the ordinary. And so I think perhaps it could have been so also until Acts 2, until this day when the Holy Spirit suddenly came. And the disciples, so exuberant, began to worship God in a new way that others had never seen before. I believe that is why some people mocked and said, "They are drunk, they're filled with new wine." You know, the irony is, they were not filled with alcohol, but they were filled with wine, in a sense, spiritual wine, because the Bible speaks of wine as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so, Ephesians 5:18 is a comparison, also a contrast. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, light wine that you have in Holy Communion, you don't have to worry about getting drunk, because the alcohol content is very little. But there are some strong wines with a large alcohol content. And do you know what these strong wines are called? It's very interesting. They are called spirit. They are called spirit. And so Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with the wrong wine, alcoholic wine, but be filled with another kind of spirit, the good spirit, the Holy Spirit." 4 years ago, the year 2014, The 7 a.m. service held a retreat in Kuala Lumpur. In those days, it was just 7 a.m. We were not yet combined with 5 p.m., though there were some good 5 p.m. people who joined us in the retreat. The presence of the Holy Spirit was very, very strong at this retreat. I remember as I was preparing for the retreat, I looked at the program. One afternoon was a free afternoon, and I was thinking, I think on this free afternoon, I think we should dance. I just felt God wanted us to dance. But then also I was thinking, the 7 a.m. people, they're very shy. They're very reserved. They're very prim and proper, very like that. So how, I thought, how am I going to make them dance? So I came up with an idea. I said, they will be very self-conscious, so I don't want them to be so self-conscious. So I was thinking, we will stand in a circle in the ballroom and everyone will face the wall. Everyone will face the wall. And so when we dance, no one can see somebody else. In this way, we will not be self-conscious. So I told this to my friend, and my friend said, that is a very stupid idea, June. It will not work. She said, I've got a better idea. So I said, yes, what is your better idea? She said, you make everyone stand in a circle. Yes. She said, and then make everyone close their eyes and dance. I said, what? And she said, yes, in this way they will not be self-conscious because no one can see them dancing. So I was thinking, now this is not a very good idea, but I have no better ideas. So on the actual day, we were in the ballroom, everyone stood in a circle, and I said, it has been suggested that we shall all close our eyes and dance. Immediately, the people protested, and they said, we cannot dance with our eyes closed because we will fall down. I said, oh, okay then. Don't dance with your eyes closed. Let's dance with our eyes open. And then Pastor Kam Ming, he played some music. It was very fast, fast-moving Jewish, Christian Jewish music. It was a nice dancing beat. So in the circle, we all held hands and we started to dance together. And it was very, very nice. Everyone took part and no one felt shy. No one felt out of place. After several minutes of dancing like this, we began to slow down. You understand, we're not young anymore. Heart was going, tired already. So we began to slow down the pace. We were still in the circle, but just slowing down the pace. I was thinking to myself, thank you, Lord, that these people are willing to do more than what I expected. But never could I have known what would happen next. It was so shocking. As we were cooling down, still standing in the circle, suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon one person, Pastor Lian Suan, if you know her. The Holy Spirit came upon Lian Suan so powerfully that suddenly she began to dance on her own, just dancing and dancing on her own. And if that wasn't mad enough, she went right into the middle of the circle and began to dance on her own like that. And everyone was like, oh, what is going on? What is Lian Suan doing? If you know Lian Suan, she does not do such mad things. So everyone was thinking, what is going on? But I praise God that Lian Suan was so open to the move of the Holy Spirit. She lost all her inhibitions and she just danced freely by herself in the middle of the circle. And because she was so open to the move of the Holy Spirit, very soon others began also to receive what the Holy Spirit was doing, and suddenly people were just breaking out in laughter, uncontrollable holy laughter. Some people even collapsing to the ground, laughing and laughing, holy laughter, couldn't stop laughing. Were we drunk? I think if you looked at us, you would have said, yeah, you're drunk. But certainly, it was not alcohol. We were drunk with the good Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We are to be people of wind and fire, wine, and word. Please do not be afraid. Please do not say, oh, if the Holy Spirit comes on me, I'm going to be so crazy. I'm going to do crazy things on the street of Singapore. Everyone is going to call me drunk. Don't be afraid. Because wine speaks of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is something that brings us beyond our natural inhibitions. It makes us so full of joy that we just dance without people looking at us, caring what people say. But not just wine, but also we are people of the Word. Pentecost is all about a combination of wine and Word. And to understand this, we need to go back to Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 1. On the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. When the people came to Sinai, this was when God gave the law to Moses. We call it law. The Hebrew word is Torah. This is where God gave Torah to Moses and to the people. Exodus 19. And so you know the famous Ten Commandments. That's in the next chapter, Exodus 20. And you are saying, what has this got to do with Pentecost? It's the timing. Exodus 19 says they were in the third month after they left Egypt. This was when they received Torah. Let me explain to you using this overhead slide. I think it's easier to understand. In Exodus 12, verse 2, God says, this will be the first month for you. God was starting a new system, a new calendar. Exodus 12, verse 2, the day that they left Egypt, God said, this is the first month for you. The biblical calendar, first month. If you take our present-day Gregorian calendar, it's the month of April, right? First month is April. So, Exodus 19, we come to the third month. And what is the third month? So you count April, May, June. The third month is June. And as good Christians, we know the months of April and June very well, don't we? Because in April, we always celebrate what we call Good Friday, the day that Jesus died on the cross. That's in our Christian calendar, Good Friday. In the Bible, it's not called Good Friday. It's actually called Passover. That's in April. 3 months later, in the month of June, what do we celebrate? Pentecost. That's right, Pentecost. So here is the point. Pentecost, if you read the New Testament, you see the word Pentecost. If you look in the Old Testament, you will not find this word Pentecost. That is because Pentecost is actually based on a Greek word. It means 50 or 50 days. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is weeks. The Hebrew word Shavuot means weeks. And basically, it's the same idea. From the day of Passover, to the Greeks, they will count 50 days. Up to 50, and then they reach the day of Pentecost. The Hebrews, from the same starting point, Passover, they will count 7 weeks. And so what is 7 weeks? It's 49 days, correct? So 49, they will count 7 weeks plus 1 day, also bringing you to 50. It is Pentecost. What I'm saying is this. When did God give Torah, the Word, at Pentecost? When did God give the Holy Spirit? Also Pentecost. Many centuries apart, but the same feast. You know, there are 7 major feasts, but God chose this special one, Pentecost, firstly to give His Word, and then secondly to give His Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is, as people of God, we are to be balanced. Not just wine, not just wonderful manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but also people of the Word, a deep, deep love for the Bible. Amen. Will we be a Spirit-filled community? We need to be if we want to have any impact on Singapore. So let's come before the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Let's come before Him. We need to be a community, all together in one place, in one accord, putting aside differences, having a common goal, as the disciples had, to obey the words of Jesus, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. I believe as much as the Lord wants us to evangelize, to share the gospel, He also says to us, wait until you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. Because these are things we cannot do in our human strength. We cannot share the gospel in our human strength, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be people who will receive the wind of the Spirit, receive the fire of the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives us this gift. We need to be people of wine, not apologetic if we do mad things and look drunk. But we do simply because we love God so much and we're so full of joy uncontainable. People of the Word, people who love the Bible, know it and put it into practice. Will we be such a community? I'm going to invite now anyone who wants to receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe your first time. Maybe the first time you're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you already have, but you want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You want to receive the gift of tongues. You want to receive all the gifts that the Holy Spirit desires to equip you with. Will you just raise your hand wherever you are? Yes, who else? Who else? Who else? God wants to do a deep thing in our midst. Just respond to Him wherever you are. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, Lord, that even as you see our hands and you see our hearts, Lord, you know the deep longing within us, Lord, that we are crying out to you, that on our own we are nothing. We so desperately need the Holy Spirit. We need to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, blow this wind on us always, Lord, that we will never tire, but we will always be aglow with the Spirit. And Lord, I pray for those, especially with their hands raised, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit now on them, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Hallelujah. Those of you who desire to receive the Holy Spirit, breathe in, breathe in, breathe in the wind, breathe in the breath of the Holy Spirit. Just breathe in now. Yes, deep, deep breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray that even as you fill us with the Holy Spirit, grant to us tongues, grant to us all the spiritual gifts, Father, that we may truly serve you and be aglow all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.